This is Will's Band of the Week for June 23rd, 2011. Hello and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Chris this week.
Hey, world.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going all right.
Yeah, you name the kid yet?
No kid name yet.
So the contest is still open then?
My attempts to name the kid after Margaret Thatcher were shot down.
That got rejected?
Hmm. Yeah, no, that's out.
Keep trying. It's the trial and error process.
Although it's funny because on that podcast we talked about the fact that I like the name Annalise because it was in an REM song.
Yeah,
and so my wife is putting together her name of lists, and just completely randomly that name is on there. So I don't know. We may have found a sweet spot
that's
there.
A possibility. So she has like 46 names, and they're gonna. It's like when a band records 46 songs for the album, right? And you're gonna narrow it down to like 20 and then 10. It's going to be a very formal process, I would imagine.
Yeah, what we did last time with my son was she put together a list and then I got to pick a name off the list. So,
oh, that's pretty good.
That's kind of our compromise, yeah. That's
not bad. But then for the daughter, did you do it the other way around? So like you made the list and she got to pick one?
No, we weren't smart enough 7 years ago. We wisened up 5 years ago.
Yeah, well, wow.
Age comes with wisdom.
That's pretty exciting. So I guess it's time to tell people how they can contact us. They can send an email to willsband@yahoo.com if they like the old-fashioned email route. They can go to the website, willsband.net, where you can post comments, and you'll see all the episodes posted there. You can go to the Twitter feed, Will's Band, or the Facebook page, the Will's Band of the Week podcast. And did I cover everything? Other than iTunes.
Yeah, iTunes is the big one, right?
Yeah. Go there, hit that subscribe button, and we'll be delivered to your virtual door.
That's
every
right.
Every week.
In any language you want, right?
Right, yeah. There's a translate button, so you can you can hear us in any language.
We have such an international audience, you know.
That's true. We were
I can translate this into British for all of our fans in the UK.
Yep, you could. We were just talking about this at the dinner table today. My son is going to go to a French camp, and so one of his brothers asked him if he's going to change his iPod so that it says everything in French. So I think you might be able to do that. I think I remember in the setup process there was some kind of language choice thing, so maybe he'll do it.
I hope they don't play Capture the Flag at French camp, because his team would always surrender it.
Ooh, that was good, I gotta say. Good in quotes. I'm not gonna take any position on it, but
we just dropped our one French listener.
Yeah, that's right.
Au revoir.
We probably have one or two. They come from all over the world, so you can assume that we've got some.
Sure.
Yeah, so let's see what's going on. You know, we always talk about music news, and last week Barrett and I joked. We said, not that death is a laughing matter, but we kind of joked that, you know, somebody will probably die, so we'll have some more music news. And lo and behold, guess what happened? Somebody died.
Somebody died.
Yeah, and here I have a little musical tribute to the person who died, okay?
All right.
Here we go.
All been good and practicing real hard. Yeah. Clients, you've been rehearsing real hard now. So Santa, bring your new saxophone, right? Everybody out there been good or what? Oh, that's not many of you guys in trouble out here. And you better watch out, you better not cry.
That's how I found out who Clarence Clemons was.
Mm-hmm.
He Bruce Springsteen's saxophone player died this past week. I think he was not that old, 62 or something.
Yeah, the reaction, I was actually sitting here kind of watching my Twitter feed, and Twitter just kind of went crazy when he died, and I don't know why exactly that is. To me, it kind of feels like, you know, a lot of people of that generation started to suddenly feel super old that Clarence Clemons was died. They started to have to wrestle with their own mortality all of a sudden, I guess.
That could be.
It's my theory.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because he was pretty well known for, I guess maybe Springsteen's band was kind of that way, right? There was Little Steven and, yeah, you know, people you kind of knew who was in his band, even if you weren't a big Springsteen fan.
Max Weinberg was his drummer, right?
That sounds right.
That's right.
And there are probably a couple other names we'd recognize. And there was one other little Clarence Clemons highlight that also came from that song. That's Clarence Clemons, too.
Oh.
Might be his only vocal performance.
As Santa Claus?
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. So, well, when I was a younger person, the old heavy metal radio station up in Appleton called the Rockin' Apple, Barrett used to listen to this station, too. Every holiday season, they'd just play that song like crazy. And this bar I used to go to with my friends called Beaner's, it would always be on the jukebox there, and you know, during the holidays. So, I'm sure Clarence Clemons did a lot more than the holiday song. He was a, sort of an integral part of the Springsteen band. I guess that's the E Street Band, right?
Yes, so. And I actually do. This is not music related, but I actually have a Santa gripe. There was a kid at I chaperoned my daughter's trip to the zoo. And one of the kids there is like, I know the secret about Santa. My parents told me. I'm like, what? So what am I supposed to say? Like, he's gonna tell the entire class. So I think there should be a process to fine those parents.
Yeah, that's a school controversy if there ever was one. Yeah.
I'm sure there are plenty of people that don't celebrate Christmas and all that kind of stuff, and that's fine. But you know, for those of us that do, you know, you're gonna ruin it.
Yeah. Okay. What grade was this?
First grade.
Huh. Wow.
Yeah. It's just 12th grade.
Yeah. Right.
Bastards.
Yeah. All right. Well, there's our Springsteen, Clarence Clemons, and Santa Claus news.
Sure.
And I don't know if there were any other. There weren't any major other deaths in the rock world, I don't think. And
well, see, I'm disappointed Barrett's not on here because we actually had kind of a decent discussion about one of the bands that we're going to do tonight. We talked about, you know, generally when we listen to bands, we swap a lot of music. And I think the week that we did this, we had about five different bands, and I was deciding which ones I wanted to listen to.
Yeah.
And there was one named Cults.
Right.
And, you know, there was the 80s band, The Cult.
Right.
Which I wasn't really that big of a fan of, so I decided I wasn't going to listen to The Cults, Cults. Because it just sounded too much like it.
Yeah.
And then I finally listened to it, and I'm like, oh, I really like this. And it sounds absolutely nothing like
The Cult.
The Cult.
Right.
And so we had fun talking about like bands that sound like other bands that you would think would be similar. I mean, how stupid is it to name your band Cults when there's another band out there, The Cult?
Yeah, maybe they never heard of them. You
like,
know.
Would you name your band like R.E.?
R.E.I.? Yeah.
R.E. and the Blowfishes?
How about Car instead of The Cars?
Exactly.
That's a different connotation.
Yes. The Coldplays.
Yeah. Right. Well, that is an interesting question because you'd think you could come up with something. Totally original, right? There are plenty of unused names out there, but you know, I'm thinking it's realistic to think they may not have even heard of them, though, right? I mean, these people in Cults, I think is it basically a 2-person band, and then they might have more live members.
Yeah, I've seen an interview with them, and it was about 7 people, but I think for the most part, it's just kind of this boyfriend and girlfriend duo,
and they're probably really young, right? And so if they're in their 20s and, you know, the band The Cult was around, you know, they're probably 50 now,
yeah,
right? So,
but don't you, isn't that what record labels and lawyers and all that kind of stuff are, to kind of weed this stuff out?
Yeah, maybe, but this is indie rock. You know, they don't need no record label, right?
Right.
I don't know. Yeah, well, I guess let's launch right into it, because that was one of our bands. Yeah, Cults. The Cult was kind of, what were they? They were sort of almost heavy metal-ish,
yeah,
right? With this kind of grating vocals kind of style.
Right. A little moody, I believe.
Yeah, a little moody metal, punk, new wave.
Sure.
Whatever. Yeah, and I didn't like them all. I liked a few of their songs, but I couldn't. Like, I think I had one of their albums, but I only liked, like, two or three songs on it. There was one big hit, and then the rest was kind of subpar.
Yeah.
But this band, Cults, they're sort of, how do you describe them? I think they're sort of, they've got this retro sound to them, and they've got, you know, kind of a cool sounding, just overall sound, I think.
Yeah, I played a little for Barrett in my car. Actually, Barrett and I went to go see Jeremy Messersmith.
Yes.
A couple weeks ago.
And Barrett mentioned that, and that was one of those, I'm a dad of three kids, and I'm too zonked to go out. And too old. Too old. I've seriously kind of wanted to go, but...
Well, see, Barrett now takes, since he's got a broken foot, he uses as his excuse that I can't drive, and so therefore I must drink as much as possible.
Yeah.
So right. I'm like driving his butt around.
Yeah, you're carting him all over the place.
Yeah, and so I put this on for him, and he's like, wow, this is really great. Because he thought it sounded kind of like the Ronnie Spector type of stuff. You know, kind of the 60s vibe. And I think there's some of that in there, but I do think it does sound updated in some respects.
Yeah, and it's really well recorded, and mm-hmm. I was glad to hear that they have more people to play it live, because if they didn't, they'd be, you know, like Beach House without a drummer, and, you know, just would be uncool. So, well, why don't you start with one then?
All right, let's see, which song was I going to go with? Okay, let's go with Never Saw the Point.
I never saw the point in trying.
Okay, tell me if you agree with my comparison. At some points on this album, and somewhat with that song, there's a little camera obscura
Yeah, sure, I'd go along with some of that.
It's got a little more of the, you know, embellished production, maybe.
Yeah, but, not as many of the kind of the lush violins that Camera Obscura
right.
uses. But,
right.
They certainly, they wear out that, like, I guess it would be a glockenspiel or a xylophone type of sound.
Right.
Almost every song has that kind of thing.
Yeah, and that's kind of a fun thing to throw in there, don't you think?
Sure.
So here's what I'm going to do. I'm gonna take one for the team, okay? I am going to use my pick on track one because...
Nope. I actually anticipated this, and I think this is a well-placed pick.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta play this one. It's called Abducted.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a good one, isn't it?
Yeah, there's actually a video for that song as well, and it's really kind of a dour, depressing video. It's not at all representative of the fun that is to be found on this album at all. It's like about tying people up and throwing them in your trunk.
So like literally abducted, huh?
Yes, literally abducted.
Wow. Well, sometimes you gotta have a little darkness underneath the celebratory sounding music.
Yeah.
You know. All right. What do we got next? Let's keep playing it.
Yeah, let's this song is a little bit different. It's kind of the curveball on the album and it's a slow one, but I really like it. It's called You Know What I Mean.
Yeah, that's good, too.
Yeah, that's the one I believe I played for Barrett in the car, and it certainly has kind of the old 60s girl band feel to it. And I'm usually not the one that'll pick the slow jams, but enjoy that one a lot.
Yeah, there's a little mystery on my iTunes here. You know how it gives the play count?
Mm-hmm.
And I've probably listened to this, you know, 6 or 7 times maybe, the whole album. And the first track has 35 plays. and then there's one that has 37, one that has 40. So I think one of my kids discovered this album. I'm going to have to talk to Grant. Either iTunes is freaking out or there's a kid listening to it. Isn't that great what iTunes will tell you?
I was thinking that is kind of our demographic for the podcast, though. Like, under 15.
And over 40, but nothing in between.
Yes, absolutely nobody in between.
There's a big hole in our demographic. That's why the advertisers haven't been coming after us. Yeah, okay, well, here we've got time, right? Let's just throw in one more.
Yeah, let's go for it.
I could go for the one that I think is sort of obvious. Yeah, let's just do that. I think we're going to front load a little bit, but I think track 2 is a really catchy one, so let's play that. It's called Go Outside. That'd be kind of fun to play lead xylophone or whatever that thing is. Yeah, that's Cults and their self-titled debut album. And Baird and I, last week, we were talking about how so many bands that we talk about are from Brooklyn. And so we were going to have a Brooklyn hiatus for a while. And so I'm happy to report that Cults are not from Brooklyn.
No.
You know where they're from?
I have no idea.
Manhattan. So it's not quite good. Brooklyn.
That's right. Totally different.
Right. So I guess still a New York scene. So, all right. There's band number one. Let's move overseas. Do you think we should move overseas?
Right. We get to talk to the Brits on this one.
We're going
to
do that. And, you know, when I first heard about this album, I read the Pitchfork review and it said, this album is not as good or as bad as what people say it's supposed to be. Now, of course, I hadn't heard of it before, so I didn't know what it was supposed to be. But it's a band called The Vaccines. And I sampled it a little bit, and I thought, yeah, I think I'll get this. And it just kept growing on me to the point that I just love almost the whole thing. I think it peters out just a tiny bit at the end, but I think the whole thing is good. Well, listeners can make their own decision, but I think this is a really fun one. It's got kind of that 80s influence, little dark, tiny little bit of John Hughes mixed in there, and a little bit kind of like the first Interpol album, but not quite that dark. So I don't know. Did I just blow that description or what?
No, for me, it wasn't a grower at all. It was one of those ones that's, you know, you listen to it and like immediately, like one time through, and you're like, wow, that's a really good album.
Just jumped right out at you, huh?
And I think that might be because I'm getting old, and maybe I don't feel like I have much time left on this earth to sit around and listen to shoegazing, you know, albums that have to grow on you for you to really like.
So you're
I kind of appreciate albums that I like. They get extra credit for me.
Yeah,
for not being instantly likable.
Not wasting your time with having to study. Yeah,
you know, scrawling out lyrics. What does this mean? You know, a 3-part song that drags on, but. No, this is instantly likable, I think. Really catchy, and it's hard to pick a song, really.
I think it is, too, because I was listening to it the other day, just thinking, you know, what should I pick? And it's like, oh, that one's good, that one's good, that one's good. The hits just keep on coming. It's the band is called The Vaccines, and the album is called What Did You Expect from The Vaccines? So, I'm just gonna pick one and be kind of arbitrary, because there are so many good ones. But let's try track 4, Blow It Up. That's The Vaccines. The guy's a pretty good singer, don't you think?
Yeah, he kind of had a little flavor of Chris Martin from Coldplay, I thought, to bring up Coldplay for the second time in this podcast.
Wow, now that, I never thought of that. Boy, I have to think about that.
There you go. Yeah, you think on that.
Okay.
It's funny that you mentioned earlier that, you know, it's not as good or as bad as people think, because I went to the allmusic.com website, mm-hmm. and they just kill it. They don't like it at all.
Oh, really? Wow. It's I guess I haven't really read too many reviews.
Well, because they mark them down, apparently, because the guys in The Vaccines apparently are like rich kids, and they don't like the fact that they're trying to be, you know, authentic indie rockers or something. And so here's the last sentence of what they say. It's style for miles and miles, unencumbered by hooks and accentuated by an attitude that carefully practices disdain for its audience. So if you're not inclined to buy into their gate, there's not much reason to stick around. That's insane. This is a really good album.
Well, I guess we're buying into it.
Right. I guess if you know nothing about the band, then maybe it's more enjoyable or something. But I don't get it.
Wow. And, well, you know,
I mean, the thing that I like about it so much is it's just such a dumb album, and I mean that like in a very complimentary way. I mean, there's nothing, you know, tricky about it at all. there aren't very many levels.
Right. The lyrics are kind of simplistic and raunchy sometimes.
Right.
And, you know, I think that this seems to be a thing with a lot of bands from Britain, that there's always, for some reason, there's like a lot of hype with a lot of bands. And then there's backlash after the hype. So, you know, we didn't hear all the hype, right? So we didn't have an opportunity for the backlash. I think that's what's going on. That's my theory.
At some point, somebody called the Arctic Monkeys' first album like the greatest album ever made or something like that.
Yeah.
Somebody in the British press.
Right. Right. Yep.
Kind of hard to live up to that, I would think.
It is, yeah. Okay. Well, I'm anxious to hear what your first pick is going to be. It's
all
an impossible
this is
task.
Be an example of what I was talking about. Let's go with Norgard.
All right. That one's a minute 38. So
yeah,
again, due to the authorities about to arrest us, I had to cut it off there.
Yeah, but that's, you know, a good summary song if you're driving around with your windows down.
Absolutely.
I don't think anybody looks askance at you if you're playing that song.
Absolutely not. Yeah. And yeah, so that's kind of, there are a couple that are kind of fast like that. And I guess the one I played was kind of a medium one. There are a couple that are kind of slow that are really cool too. They're kind of moody, so I'll play one of those. This one's called Wetsuit.
If at some point we all succumb, for goodness sake, let us be young, 'cause time gets harder to outrun, and I'm nobody, I'm not done. Thank you.
The lyrics are kind of a guilty pleasure a little bit, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, there's not a whole lot of going on there. I have to double check when that song is on that my microphone is muted because I was singing along. So if it's not muted, then you know, yep, the paint's going to start coming off the walls, yeah, of the people at home.
I didn't hear you, so must be okay.
Good. Yeah.
Well, we should just keep playing it. You know, we could play the whole thing, but why don't you pick one more?
All right. I will spare you the injustice and go ahead and go with song one, just because I like it so much.
All right. It's called Wreckin' Bar, Ra, Ra, Ra. Yeah, that's a really fun one. It's a minute 22. You know, you got to give credit to a band that can just, when the song's done, you cut it off, right?
Yeah.
You know, have the courage to do a minute and a half long song.
No need to go on 8 minutes, the Hey Jude style.
Right, exactly. Yeah, the only criticism I really have of this album is I think the last track is like a throwaway piano thing. It's like, yeah, these guys don't need to do a slow piano thing. Like, it was some producer's bad idea or something. But, you know, you can just not play that track and you've got a really solid, like, 33-minute, 11-track fun album.
Yep.
So, I'm very, very high on this album.
Yes, really, so if you're not British and know nothing about this band, then...
then it's okay to like them.
But if you don't like rich people...
right.
If you're a classicist, is that, was it?
Yeah.
Or is that somebody that likes the classics?
Oh, yeah, I think it would be, yeah. It would be classist.
Yes.
So maybe these guys are like the British Vampire Weekend, right? Do they wear sweaters? Like, I hope they don't wear sweaters like Vampire Weekend. I think the sweater look would not fit these guys. You got to at least wear a flannel shirt or something.
I know that's a good comparison, I think. Some rich kids get together, hugely hyped album.
Yeah. But nobody really criticized. Everybody thought Vampire Weekend was cute, you know? And they've gone two albums without really... there's no backlash, right? You don't get a sense that there's people that say, you know, they hate Vampire Weekend, right?
I feel there was backlash with their first album.
I guess there could be some. And I guess they could be... if you're going to make that criticism, right, that you think these guys are insincere because they're trying to play on the whatever genre, you know, you could say the same thing that Vampire Weekend is trying to go for, that, you know, ska influence stuff or whatever. So you're better off just, like, not worrying about, you know, where the band got its influences or whether they're rich kids, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, this is good. This is two good items of music, I think.
Solid.
Yeah. Very solid. So,
I don't know if I have any parting thoughts.
No parting thoughts, just the music speaks for itself. You know what Joe Perry once said? He said, let the music do the talking.
So, Public Enemy said, Terminator X speaks with his hands. So I'll leave it at that.
I didn't know that one. Okay. Your reference is much more obscure than mine, I think. More people know Joe Perry, although he's getting old. He's probably even older than me, so... I wonder what Joe Perry looks like these days. I wonder if he looks like, you know, like Keith Richards or something. I don't know.
If he looks anything like, what's his name? Steven Tyler.
Yeah.
He's holding it together, I guess. Although he's kind of skeletal looking.
I bet Steven Tyler's had, like, some cosmetic surgery, too. Doesn't he seem like the guy, kind of guy that would have cosmetic surgery? You know, yeah. Kind of an L.A. kind of guy? That's what I'm thinking that. I'm speculating that. I'm going to make that allegation right here on the podcast.
I still have a theory that at some point they're going to come up with plastic surgery that's so good that you can't tell if somebody's had plastic surgery. So then now all the people that had plastic surgery during this era are going to have to go back and have it all redone to make it look like they didn't have it.
Right. You have the kind of the upgraded plastic surgery. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Who was telling me? Somebody was telling me this funny story about an audience, and the audience was primarily people who had had plastic surgery, and you couldn't tell what the crowd reaction was because you couldn't tell the people's facial expressions because they all had plastic surgery. Their faces were all like frozen with one expression. But I can't put it into context because I can't remember where I heard it. But anyway.
Well, yeah, if you're a band and you're playing and all the people in your crowd have plastic surgery, you don't know if they like you or not.
Exactly.
They're all smiling. They're like,
right?
They think I'm the greatest band in the world.
200 Joan Riverses watching you.
When they have no choice but to smile.
Yeah, if you play in L.A., that could be a problem, right? So, all right, well, thanks for making yourself available, Chris, in your busy state of life. And we'll get you back. We'll attract you back with more good music, I'm sure. And
sure.
Who knows what next week will bring, because every week is a new surprise here on the podcast. So it's time to say thanks for listening and good night.
Good night.